Now, let's look into the Word this morning. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Verses 3 through 14. Let's stand together, please, for the reading of God's Word. I know you were standing a while ago, but it'll help us, I think, be better listeners. Matthew 24:3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." I don't know about you, but I've noticed in the last 8 to 10 years, even the European nations are ridiculing us for our faith in Christ, where at one time they were the leaders, the Germans and the British and so on. Verse 10, "At that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who was saved in Vacation Bible School as a child, although he quickly wandered from the way and has lived for himself, when he dies will be saved." I got the current version of that, didn't I? No, it doesn't read that way. "But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Heavenly Father, help us today as we look into your word to respond to the word and to your spirit who is faithful to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Prophecy is an awesome phenomenon. Over and over in the Bible, what God said through a prophet has been fulfilled even hundreds of years after it was prophesied. I'm here this morning to declare to you that Jesus is coming again. There's not enough said about it. Hundreds of verses in the Bible speak of it. The Apostle Paul alone mentions it 50 times in his writings. Have you ever gone back and looked at the promises of Christ's first coming before Jesus was born, when he came back then, the first time he came, and how they were fulfilled? Moses, 1431 years before Christ came on the plains of Moab, before the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, prophesied Deuteronomy 18:18-19. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks, In my name, I myself will call him to account. The fulfillment, New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 14. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world." Isaiah, 758 years before Christ, somewhere between the Mediterranean and Dead Seas. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, prophesied, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The New Testament fulfillment, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Prophet Micah, 710 years before Christ in the land of Judah, prophesied, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." Fulfillment, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, same place as Judah. Jacob, 1,689 years before Christ, speaking to his sons just before his death, down in Egypt's bondage, prophesied in Genesis 49, verse 10. "The scepter, the staff, the rod with which a ruler wields total authority or sovereignty, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until he comes, to whom the scepter belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." Fulfillment, Luke's genealogy of Christ, beginning with Luke chapter 3, verse 23. "Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli." And going down now to verse 33 of Luke 3, we read, as it winds up the genealogy, "The son of Amminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah." Just as was prophesied way back there in 1,689 years before Jesus came. These and many more prophecies were fulfilled regarding Jesus coming to earth the first time he came. Every single promise in the Bible either has been or will be fulfilled. So, based upon this premise that the promises of his first coming were all fulfilled, I would remind us today of the promises of his second coming. Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." The familiar King James, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The NIV says, "I will come back." The King James says, he says, "I will come again." Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." What servants are blessed? The servants the Lord finds alert, watching, and ready when He comes. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 30, "At that time the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." He said in Mark chapter 13, verse 26, "At that time men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." There will be great mourning when He comes back. Oh no. Christ told us. He warned us. The Christians, the church, told us and warned us. And just as what the Old Testament prophets we mentioned a few minutes ago predicted came to pass, just so what the angels said came to pass. The angels said that He would come again. An angel way back there announced His birth. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And we all know that what the angel announced happened. Amen. An angel pronounced His resurrection. Luke 24, verses 1 through 7, "On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb, found the stone rolled away. When they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men in clothes that gleamed like lightning said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Well, I ask you this morning, did what the angel announced happen or not? If you do believe He arose, say, He is risen. He is risen." Oh, that was good. That was good. You believe it, don't you? He rose from the grave. And my friends, again, what the angels prophesied happened. Just so, an angel announced His second coming. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, telling of Jesus' ascension back to heaven. "They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. Will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." And my friends, you can bank on it. It is certain to be. Jesus is coming again. Well, not only did Jesus say that He would return to earth, and the angels say that He would return to earth, but the apostles said that He would come again. And I'm going to quote briefly from just a couple. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, John speaks from out there on the Isle of Patmos. "Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, Amen." In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul the Apostle speaks, "For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And thus This same Paul says also over in the fourth chapter and verse 16, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Yes, He is coming, and no one knows just when. Like a thief in the night, Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus said, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." I have no hesitation preaching the truth, and so I'm not apologizing for what I have been preaching this morning. But I just want to point out today that the enemy did not want me to preach this today. If you've been serving the Lord as long as some of us have, you kind of understand and know what's going on when it seemed like this was one of those weeks when every time I tried to nail down my sermon, it slipped away and the phone rang or some extenuating thing took place. But the Lord spoke to me early in the week, "I want you to preach on the second coming." And I said, "Yes, Lord, I will, in spite of everything." Even my wife said to me in the middle of the night, "Have you seen the cat?" And I'm out saying, "Kitty, kitty, kitty," middle of the night, instead of working on my sermon. But I said, "Lord, I'm going to mind you, preach what you told me to, in spite of it." By the way, I lifted the hood of the car this morning, and there was his dwelling place, sitting on top of the engine. And he's alive and well. We nearly had kitties too for lunch, but anyhow. I just said that to say to you, what an honor and privilege it is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what an awesome responsibility. Awesome responsibility. And every time, it didn't happen too many weeks ago, every time someone passes away connected in some way to the church, you know, you go, "Oh, did we do our best? Did we do our best? Did we preach the gospel? Did they know the truth?" And it always gives me peace of heart, even though maybe they didn't accept Jesus, to recall, "Yes, I remember they sat under the gospel and heard the truth." The devil didn't want me to preach this week. It may be for a reason. He may sense some things that are going on in the world. It may be a week that we really do need to listen to the voice of God and heed the word of God to be right with God. Oh, folks, what else will matter? What else will matter when we make the crossing and when we stand before Him? I don't know about you, but I want to make what wasn't it Peter who referred to an abundant entrance into heaven. I love that phrase. What do you say? Let's hit the gates of heaven just flying through, huh? With all kinds of force. We can do it. We can do it by the grace of Christ. I appeal to you this morning, if you're not sure about your relationship with God, you're in the right place among the right people today, so that when you walk out these doors, you can know with assurance, you can lay your head down on that pillow tonight and sleep with peace, saying, "If He comes, I know I'm ready." Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. And we ask You right now to help us to be honest with ourselves and honest to God. Oh God, keep us each and all alert in these uncertain days to Your voice, to Your will for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.